Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot!
And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. We have entered the month of March, and we all know what that means from a basketball perspective. Indiana with a loss on the road yesterday, but again, Indiana played well yesterday. They showed up ready to play. They were very competitive in the first half. Illinois made a nice run in the second half. Indiana answered back. It's not all that of a concerning loss, to be quite frank about it, in my estimation, if it wasn't for the case that Indiana is really on the brink of this upcoming NCAA tournament and a road win. And I'm of the believing that one, of course, it's really not worth talking about now because the road games are done and over, but one road win, whether it be at Purdue or at Illinois yesterday, locks this team in for sure, where I don't think you got to worry too much about Indiana's appearance in the upcoming NCAA tournament. Now, with the loss, things could get a little bit more interesting because I saw this morning, actually saw last night after three games of Big Ten play yesterday, that is expected with the loss. Indiana loses the number 10 spot in the conference, which also affects tournament play in the Big Ten tournament. They go currently to 11, which means a few things to me. Number one, they'd have to open up in the first round of Big Ten tournament play on March 11th. They would get that automatic bye to the second round on Thursday. Number two, it puts Purdue ahead of Indiana, which has kind of been a back-and-forth thing the last week and a half or so in the conference standings. And Purdue's, I don't think, projected in most, if any, NCAA tournament brackets right now. And I know Indiana remains in brackets at this point. But my question is this. When the committee sits down and really looks at things and looks at resumes, and you're going to go with the, 10 teams potentially from a conference, what's it like to go to the 11th team and skip over whoever by the end of the next week or so is in that 10 spot if Indiana's not 10 or higher? Isn't it odd for them to skip over that spot and go to, say, Indiana remains in 11th with their wins and losses the rest of the way and with what else happens in the conference? I just think you want to get in that top 10 spots in the conference. If they're going to take 10 teams from the conference, it would make sense. I know that's not the formula, or that's not exactly the only way they pick teams, but I would sure think from a appearance standpoint and just from a feel decent about it standpoint, Indiana, for many reasons, would like to be in the top 10 or higher of the Big Ten conference when things wrap up here after this week of conference play. So big week ahead. We know what it means. Two home games. And I said this three and a half weeks ago, Indiana fans, we might all be very happy, even though everyone's still on edge a bit, we might all be very happy that the final two games of the season are at home for this Indiana team, Minnesota and Wisconsin, upcoming for Indiana, both of those home games this week. And, of course, it's different at home. Indiana's got the crowd behind him, the friendly confines of Assembly Hall. But I'll tell you this much. After I watched Indiana lose yesterday in a great game, a very well-fought game down to the end by both teams, later in the evening, Minnesota and Wisconsin played each other. Now, currently, Wisconsin is in third place in the Big Ten Conference. Minnesota is in 12th place in the Big Ten Conference, and it was a down-to-the-wire game. I think with 30 seconds exactly on the clock, Minnesota had a score to take a one-point lead or to retake the lead, and were ahead by 1 point. Now, Wisconsin would go on to win. But, again, Wisconsin looking good. Minnesota, who Indiana defeated at Minnesota just a week and a half or so ago, played a really good game on the road at Wisconsin. So, again, you think, okay, these games are at home. We know how the conference is, how hard it is to win on the road. Indiana's going to pick up two wins, and I agree, one, definitely two wins. You're locked in 100% to the tournament. So some people say, okay, no problem, Indiana's got it. I don't know that I see it that way. Minnesota at home, I like Indiana's chances. Wisconsin, Indiana at home. Boy, that will be a battle for this Indiana team. So fun basketball ahead. And then once we figure out what happens with Indiana these last two games of the regular season, of course, it's time for the Big Ten Conference Tournament, which begins on Wednesday, March 11th. That's going to be 4 or 5 days of really, really exciting basketball, and it's going to be played where it should be played each year, in my opinion, in Indianapolis coming up here. So that will be fun. And we are a day away, one day away, as we sit here on Monday, March 2, from the start of the boys basketball state tournament. There are games locally on Tuesday night. That's when Seymour and Cordon and Southwestern and Borden, all of our local sectionals, get underway Tuesday night. In fact, Cordon, because it's a seven-teamer, they've got a couple games on Wednesday night as well, one Tuesday and two on Wednesday. So a very action-packed week of sectional play. The most exciting games locally will happen on Friday or Saturday night, the way the pairings shook out. But across the state, I mentioned last week, Lawrence North, Lawrence Central, ranked in the very top of the 4A poll, have been top five or definitely top 10 teams, if not higher, all season long. They're going to play on Tuesday night in the opening round of that sectional. Love tournament basketball. It just, when it's a go-home situation for the loser, it just adds so much to the game, to the crowd, to the environment. And, of course, the storied tradition in Indiana only adds to it. This is a great week we're in right here, sectional week, to kick off the state tournament and really to kick off postseason basketball. You know, once the sectional gets here, that you've got all sorts of great basketball coming, with conference tournaments followed by the NCAA tournament and, of course, the continuance of the high school state tournament as well. Welcome in. It's the Hoosier Report for this Monday. We do this show each weekday, 11 a.m. right here on the Big X, also streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. You can catch the replay at 3 o'clock most days if we don't get bumped due to U of L or Reds baseball that we pick up sometimes here on the Big X. Also, we are available as a podcast, and I know a lot of you take advantage of that. If you can't join us for the live show, we're on SoundCloud. We're also on Apple Podcasts. Those are two of the easy ways to locate us if you want to find us on demand at your convenience. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, quickly, we'll have some Zaxby's headlines for this Monday, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us, and Zach was at the Indiana game yesterday, and he'll help us recap that game and take a big look ahead in the final week of Big Ten Conference play for this Indiana team. And then later in the hour, Chad Gilbert, former coach, currently Charlestown High School athletic director, also a member of the IHSA executive board. He joins us on Mondays. We'll take a look at some of the sectionals tomorrow, now that we're through the regular season of high school basketball, and some other basketball stuff when Chad is with us today. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Zaxby's headlines with Zaxby's location in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Yesterday, Indiana showed up ready to play. Illinois is really, you could make an argument, in contention there at the top of the Big Ten Conference as we enter what's going to be a crazy week in the conference, not just for teams like Indiana that are fighting for their NCAA tournament life and fighting to stay out of the first day of the Big Ten Conference tournament, that dreaded Wednesday of games, but at the top of the conference as well. There, I mean, this thing is unknown exactly what's going to happen. Maryland sits there right now, but I tell you what, it could get interesting, because Michigan State, Wisconsin as well, you could make an argument that they have an opportunity with who they have left to play. Maryland still with some difficult games. I think they go on the road to Rutgers and play Michigan as well. Let's see, Wisconsin, I mentioned Illinois. You could even make an argument that they have an opportunity to try to win this conference at this late point. So things are topsy-turvy all the way through the conference right now, And yesterday for Indiana, a very much needed win on the road didn't happen. But again, they played well. And I know that that may not be a pat on the back, something that IU fans want to hear. You might be ready to win and want to win. Don't care if it's home or away. But Illinois is a dang good ball club. And we know about the freshman. We know about AO, I never can pronounce his name, Dosumi. They're really good. And he's going to play in the NBA next year. And it's just a matter of time until Coburn does as well. And he could be or is, I think, Trace Jackson Davis' chief competition for the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. But yesterday, Indiana ready to play, battled in the first half. Gosh, they had a 5-point lead in the first half. And at halftime, coming out of half, Illinois with a run, but Indiana answered back. Indiana answered just about every punch that they could, except for there at the end of the game. And you could make the argument at the end of the game, and we'll talk some with Zach about this, you could make the argument at the end of the game that Indiana, and I don't like to complain about officials, and I'm not complaining about officials when I say this, but you could make the argument that Indiana got ripped there on a couple really back-to-back plays. One was Al Durham, and when they slowed it down, that three-point attempt, he had just hit one, remember, comes back down, three-point attempt, it sure looked like he got clamped on the arm pretty good. And then right after that, Rob Phinisee just goes down. He gets the ball kicked out to him after the long rebound was tipped out by Justin Smith, and Phinisee slips down on the ground, loose ball. You think maybe a jump ball. No, Illinois gets a timeout. But if you really slow that thing down, looks to me like there was a little bit of trip action going on just as Phinisee went to catch the ball or catch the pass. He went down almost simultaneously to the floor. So, again, you hate to get into that stuff, but back-to-back calls late in the game did not go Indiana ways, at least on two foul calls in that game. Yesterday, Trace Jackson Davis, very good again. Double-double once again this season, 12 points, 12 rebounds. Boy, he was on fire. He looked great in the first half of play, and I was so excited for him because I really think him and Coburn are they're some of these late performances maybe going to determine who is the Big Ten Freshman of the Year, and he sure outplayed him in the first half, but it was almost like a reversal of that in the second half. Coburn was just dominant. He had some big baskets late for Illinois, just deadly right at the rim he is. But still, Trace with a big-time game for Indiana once again. You got to give a hats off to Al Durham as well. He was 3 of 6, 2 of 3 from three-point land, and really all of Indiana's guards yesterday. Rob Phinisee had 10 points. Devontae Green had 11 points. They all hit a three-pointer. They all had, they all had 2 3-pointers. Phinisee had 2. Green had 2, Durham had 2 as well, which is something that's very unusual for this team to see that type of shooting from its guard play. So all the way around, a pretty strong game for Indiana. If they can replicate that game yesterday, that performance, that shooting performance, that effort, that battle for long periods of time where they have to, where they're able to stay in the game or battle, even if it's neck and neck, Indiana could win 2 at home if they play in that manner the rest of the way this season. That's how big of an advantage playing on your home floor is in this conference. Other things for Indiana, we're going to talk more about it coming up with Zach Osterman in the next segment. But other things for Indiana, interesting to see Race Thompson, who a lot of people think maybe should be starting or have said, hey, you could start him instead of Joey Brunk. He did get the start coming out of halftime. He didn't get the start at the beginning of the game, but out of halftime it was Race Thompson joining the normal IU lineup with Joey Brunk starting off on the bench on Sunday in the second half. Both players had 2 fouls, so it wasn't like one of them getting protected or getting sent to the bench because of foul problems, but definitely an interesting and I think a worthy change there for Indiana in the lineup. We'll see if maybe Race Thompson slides into the starting lineup for any of these upcoming home games for Indiana. A look at the Big Ten Conference. I've kind of spoiled that for you already. I told you Indiana's 11th right now in the Big Ten Conference, and that means currently they would be playing number 14-seeded Nebraska on March 11th to open up the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. The other dreaded Wednesday game would be Minnesota, a 12-seed against Northwestern, a 13-seed, and then the top 4 seeds, they get basically a double bye all the way to the quarterfinal round on March 13th. Number one, Maryland, currently at the top of the conference, trying to fend off challengers and win a Big Ten Conference championship. They would take on number four-seeded Illinois in their first game, number two-seeded Michigan State taking on number three-seeded Wisconsin. That's if the bracket were to hold up today, as it is after yesterday's Big Ten games. And then, of course, you've got second-round games, and some of those are winners that take on the first-round winners as well. But a very interesting Big Ten conference will shape up in that tournament. That tournament's going to be fantastic. I've said that over and over again. I think we're going to see some great performances, some unbelievable games. I think we'll see some upsets. And I think right now you got to hope that Indiana, as a 10 seed, gets to advance to Thursday automatically and can win a couple games in that tournament. That would really help them in addition to a couple wins here at home in the final week of conference play. IU women, their season, regular season, is now over. They defeated Michigan yesterday. They are ranked number 22 in the country. They will finish number four in the Big Ten Conference. I don't have their bracket for the women pulled up in front of me, but obviously with the top four seed, top four finish in the conference, they are going to advance on to the quarterfinal round of the Big Ten Women's Tournament, which is good stuff for them. Also, a couple high school notes. The regular season came to a close for Friday night for all of the teams in our area. Jeffersonville, no game on Friday. They were supposed to host Castle, which was going to be senior night for the Jeffersonville team, but there was a water issue at the high school, and I think it affected some other parts of Jeffersonville as well on Friday, and that game had to be canceled. And Jeffersonville made an effort to try and find someone to play on Saturday where they could have their senior night, senior day, unable to locate an opponent, kind of as you would expect at this late point of the season. And so the Red Devils will celebrate senior night to a senior class that's been really good for the program, including sectional champions a year ago, and I think you could consider them the Seymour sectional favorite today as we head to tournament play on Tuesday. But Jeffersonville idle in this final weekend getting ready for tournament play. New Albany got beat by a really good Bloomington North team. Going to be interesting to see a Bloomington North who finishes with 19 wins on the regular season. Going to be interesting to see if they can maybe knock off a Bloomington South in their sectional, who, of course, is a favorite to come out and go to the Seymour Regional. But as much as New Albany struggled with Bloomington North in the first half, the game was essentially over. New Albany down 18, 20, 20-plus points. Even in the first half of play, they did trim it down some in the second half. They did play more like the New Albany team that we've seen in some of the better games for them recently. But you got to wonder, this is the same Bloomington North team that had a big lead, I think a double-digit lead on Floyd Central, and the Highlanders able to come back at home in the second half. And so if you're using it as a barometer for the sectional, not sure how that fares in favor for New Albany, but the Bulldogs fall on the road Friday night in Bloomington. Also, Providence, they closed out the regular season with a win over New Washington. Clarksville, a victory at Rock Creek as well in what was a very competitive game. And now we can turn all of our attention to the upcoming state tournament. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. Zaxby's is home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order with location in Jeffersonville and New Albany as well. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, IU basketball. We talked the loss yesterday at Illinois, the upcoming week, and more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us. And Zach, we're here to talk about Indiana's performance yesterday, a performance in which I thought they battled. They came out ready to play. In fact, led by as many as 5 points in the first half. They battled back in the second half when the homestanding Illinois team went on a nice run. And, of course, maybe some tough breaks at the end of the game with a couple foul calls. But Indiana playing some pretty good basketball yesterday, just not enough to get a win on the road. And that's a shame because I think a win on the road 100% does it for this Indiana team as far as locking them in to the NCAA tournament. But your thoughts yesterday, I thought it was a solid performance. Indiana just couldn't come up with the win on the road.
You know, I mean, we spent a lot of this season, we have spent a lot of this season talking about all of the things Indiana has, you know, failed to do on the road, how poorly Indiana's played at times on the road. You know, the performance at Penn State, the performance at Maryland, Wisconsin, Michigan. You know, it's funny. I think if you actually sit down and think about, like, how many road games Indiana's played, there's probably fewer poor road performances than maybe fans would believe. But it's still, you understand why those performances specifically would tend to stick with people. And what we've actually, I would argue, have seen in the last 2 weeks is kind of a late lesson here in the idea that you don't have to play poorly on the road to lose in the Big Ten. That you can play well. You can play something approximating your best. A lot of your underlying numbers can look good in terms of turnovers, rebounding, free throws, all those different kinds of things. And you can still lose because this conference is just really difficult. And there are a lot of good teams in this conference. I would argue, looking at a team like Purdue, there are good teams in this conference that probably aren't going to the NCAA tournament, at least as things stand today. And so it was maybe a bit of a delayed, as I said, a bit of a delayed lesson for Indiana because we spent so much time trying to figure out, you know, what it was about this team that it couldn't work out or it couldn't figure out. But nevertheless, I still think it was relevant for Indiana over probably, like I said, the last 2 weeks, to be honest with you, or the two games, excuse me, to be honest with you.
Zach, I thought yesterday Indiana's guards were much more efficient offensively. I think all three of the main guards had 2 3-pointers in the game yesterday. Indiana shot it pretty well. That's going to be needed for these home games this week for the Big Ten tournament. And, of course, for the NCAA tournament, if Indiana can find a way to squeeze in. Guard play improved yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, Archie Miller says this virtually every time his guards play well, that guard play is critical to what Indiana wants to do and that, you know, at some level maybe guard play is just critical, you know, period. I think that it is always reflected when you get, you know, I think Indiana only turned the ball over 10 times yesterday. Didn't get a ton of free throws. You can't always count on getting a ton of free throws. I suppose I will comment on some of the officiating decisions if you'd like me to.
Yes.
It's always a little bit tricky for someone in my position to talk about that without sounding like I'm picking sides. But one way or another, I think that you can always tell when Indiana plays well because, or at least when Indiana's guards play well, because that typically means Indiana plays well. And I don't think they were perfect by any means. I think they really struggled, for example, with keeping Illinois players in front of them defensively. And I think that was a big part of what Illinois got to do well offensively was the penetration it got from guys like Feliz and to a certain extent DeSumo and Frazier. And the way that Illinois was maybe able to dictate certain elements of that game because it was getting such good penetration offensively. But the flip side to that was, as you said, Indiana hit some threes, finished 8 of 16, had some big moments. I mean, some just big individual moments where guys made plays that made shots that you know, kind of brought Indiana back to life. Or, you know, I think I'm thinking of like a Rob Phinisee 3, a big Al Durham and 1. Obviously, a couple of big Devontae Green threes in the first half. Moments when you felt like not just were Indiana's guards playing well along the baseline and what they were doing and also maybe what they weren't doing, but also that you just sort of felt like when Indiana needed big moments, it was getting them from those guys. And that hasn't always been the case this year. And you know, sometimes some of that's on to them. Some of that's just on to the way that, that other teams can attack those guards and you know, defend those guys. But one way or the other, you felt like Indiana was getting both the individual and the collective performance from its guards on Sunday at Illinois that it needed.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, starting our conversation with yesterday's game at Illinois. Archie Miller had a little change to the lineup in the second half. Race Thompson got the start. Both he and Brunk, I think at that point, had 2 fouls in the game, so it wasn't like, well, Joey's in foul problems, we're going to go with Race. But a lot of people have been – Race Thompson's caught a lot of people's eye, his play lately, and wonder would he ever get a chance to get bumped into the true starting lineup from the start of the game. But yesterday he got an opportunity to start in the second half, and I'll be curious to see if there's more minutes and more maybe a true starting opportunity for him forthcoming with Archie beginning to tinker with the lineup, at least in the second half yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I think – I mean, I've probably been – one of those that's remained in the camp of saying sort of let things stay as they are. It seems like, I guess the old phrase, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Race Thompson's playing well off the bench. Joey Brunk gives you lineup stability to begin the game. You know, Brunk has had some issues with foul trouble recently, and I don't know if maybe you look at it and say, well, just sort of let's at least let Joey start the game, and then if he's playing well, you know, we let him get into the game the way that he likes to, and if he's not, we can always pivot to Race Thompson. It does feel like we're reaching a little bit of an inflection point, a breaking point. I don't know exactly what the right word would be. I don't have the box score in front of me, but I know Race Thompson was Indiana's leader in plus-minus against Purdue. I think that was the third straight game that he was Indiana's plus-minus leader. I wouldn't be surprised if he was – I mean, I don't think anybody was going to be, you know, have a huge plus-minus number. Yesterday, Indiana never led by more than 5. Illinois never led by more than 7. The game stayed very close throughout. But I wouldn't be surprised if Thompson was up there again. And I just think that, you know, it's – we may be reaching a point where it's kind of hard to ignore the impact that he's having and what it does for Indiana on a nightly basis in terms of, you know, when you want to have the conversation about should it be Joey Brunk, should it be Race Thompson, does it matter who starts? Because a lot of coaches will tell you it doesn't, that at the end of the day, it really matters who finishes halves, who finishes games, and those sorts of things. But you know, Indiana had a tall task yesterday, and I forgive the pun, it was unintended, but defending Kofi Coburn. And yet they still willingly went to Race Thompson and not Joey Brunk to start that second half. You know, that does feel like maybe something shifted in Archie Miller's thinking. And, of course, you know, we'll know for sure when we get to Wednesday night and Minnesota's in here, and obviously Race Thompson played so well against Minnesota up in Minnesota that it would be hard not to see him featuring significantly in that game plan as well. But you do just sort of wonder if maybe something has changed in Archie Miller's own mind here recently.
Zach, we got to take a look at the Big Ten conference standings, and of course that affects the tournament bracket. I know a couple home games coming up as well, but Indiana with the loss yesterday, at least for right now, with where things stand through Sunday's games, bumps down to 11th in the conference. And, of course, 10 and higher get you that bye to the not really a bye, but get you not to have to play on the opening day of the tournament with the bottom four teams. Also, this week can affect that a lot as well with Indiana hosting two games. I actually watched a great portion of the Minnesota-Wisconsin game yesterday. They played each other at Wisconsin, and Minnesota didn't look like the same team that Indiana beat a week and a half or so ago at Minnesota. They were very competitive. In fact, they took the lead again with like 30 seconds left in the game. Wisconsin would go on to win, but they looked very competitive and looked good against Wisconsin, at least in the second half moments that I saw yesterday. So maybe a Minnesota team playing a little better, and Wisconsin, they're up there in the conference. They've been playing some good basketball as well. It's going to be a tough week, even though it's two home games for Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if Indiana doesn't appreciate at this point that there are almost no, you know, rollover games in the Big Ten, they're probably never going to appreciate it. And I think you're absolutely right. I think that Indiana, I mean, listen, I think Indiana will be favored against Minnesota. And obviously, if you look at the way Indiana played against Minnesota a little less than 2 weeks ago, you would understand, A, why they would be favored, and B, you would, you know, if I guess if you're an Indiana fan, feel a level of confidence in them winning that game. But it is very much one where Indiana is not going to win that. Indiana is not going to get a win in that game simply because, you know, they won at Minnesota. They're going to have to fight for it. And you do, I guess, at some level, maybe wonder if Minnesota's not going to hit a wall here at some point. They've lost so many games that, you know, I mean, they were right there on the bubble. And you think about the way they lost the Iowa game, the Indiana game, the Maryland game, now the Wisconsin game. You know, at a certain point, the rubber band snaps a little bit for teams like that. But if you're Indiana, you need to be the one that makes it snap. You can't just count on Minnesota to come in and roll over. And I think if you're Indiana, you can also, as much as anybody ever wants to look at the big picture from inside of a program this time of year, can probably look at that Minnesota game and say that that clinches it for you, that you know, winning that game would keep you out of Dayton when you look at kind of what's happened elsewhere on the bubble. Winning that game would not only get you in the tournament, but in all likelihood keep you out of the play-in games in Dayton. And then you're just playing for seeding when it comes to Wisconsin on senior day, when it comes to the Big Ten tournament and whatever Indiana winds up having to do there or getting to do there. So there's a lot on the line for Indiana, you know, this week. And you know, to your point about Indiana sitting in 11th, I mean, I think every coach is going to want the extra day off at this time of year. I also think that, you know, there's essentially, I mean, especially on a neutral floor, there are only two teams that you can play in Indianapolis that would not give you a quad one win. And if you get to, if you start on day two, then the likelihood is you won't see either of them in Minnesota, or excuse me, Northwestern and Nebraska. Good Lord, I just blanked completely there. It's the end of the season. I'm tired. But it's, you know, I think it's fair to say that if you start on Thursday, you won't see either of those teams. And so then the other thing that you can do, if you can provide yourself that seeding protection, is you can guarantee that you won't take a bad loss in Indianapolis. And that kind of is maybe one of the strongest elements of Indiana's resume right now. And one of the ones that Indiana probably could do a lot of good for itself by protecting the most.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. And Zach, as we get ready for this week, I know you kind of mentioned this in a roundabout way, but, different thoughts out there, different bracketologists, different opinions on what Indiana has to do or not do to get in the tournament. When it comes down to a win-loss deal this week, does Indiana, in your mind, for the regular season, do they have to win one? Do they have to win both? Can they be okay if they don't win a game this week at home to finish out conference play? Where exactly do you see things as we're so close to conference tournaments and so close to Selection Sunday?
I do still genuinely, or generally, I guess I should say, think that, you know, barring some unbelievable surge from a number of teams down the bubble, because it's, you know, one of the things I think you and I have talked about, but I know I've said to other people too, is the biggest mistake that a lot of fans make at this time of year is assuming that their team is the only one that's struggling on the bubble, if that makes sense. That like they look at bubble situations and they say, boy, we're in, you know, we're struggling with this, we're struggling with this, whatever. But the presumption that you make when you say that is that every other bubble team is just going to keep winning and is only going to win all the games they need to and not lose any of the games they can't afford to. But of course, you know, they wouldn't be on the bubble if that were the case. I think one more, and I do believe this, I think one more win would put Indiana in a situation where Indiana would not need to worry about even the playing games in Dayton. I just think that their resume is strong. I think the lack of bad losses is a really big piece of it for me, that this team is going to have a good quantity of quad one, quad two wins. But as much as anything else, when you start stacking this team up next to a lot of other teams on the bubble, you're going to see not nearly as many, you know, tier, what we call like tier one wins or quality wins, but you're also not going to see nearly as much in terms of negatives. You're not going to look at this and say, boy, these are just, how do you explain this loss? How do you explain this loss? So I think one more probably does it for me, for Indiana. Two certainly cinches it. Two ensures that this is it and it's done. And I wouldn't put it past them to get two. I also wouldn't put it past them to struggle to get one, just the way the league has been this year. And if that happens, I don't necessarily think they're out, but I think that they do maybe get to a point where they start to feel like they have to go to Indianapolis with something to prove, with something to you know, with a little bit left to do. And I do think that they maybe start to drift into that less comfortable area that, I mean, they'd be safer than they were a year ago, but they'd be kind of in that same range where you'd start to get into like, well, you know, if the answer's no, then it's not like you weren't going to have your opportunities to make the answer yes, if that makes any sense. And so I think that probably to me, one more does it. Certainly two. If they get none, then things maybe start to get a little bit hinky.
Zach Ostrom and the Indianapolis Star. Going to be a big week, an interesting week, as we thought all along. Why would this be any different? The season's been great and crazy, and we know this week will be the same. Zach, thanks so much for the chat, and plenty to talk about next Monday when we hook back up with you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
And again, Zach Ostrom of the Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays to open the week here on the Hoosier Report. And here's something that just popped into my inbox. Indiana football coach Tom Allen has announced the hiring of a defensive line coach. It was the only vacant position as Indiana gears up for next season. And it's going to be a 27-year coaching veteran. His name is Kevin Peoples, and he'll come to Bloomington after 4 years as the defensive line coach at Tulane University. So that fills the final void in the coaching openings here for this IU football program. Kevin Peoples from Tulane will be the defensive line coach next year for the IU football team. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Chad Gilbert is my guest, and you know we're going to talk some hoops. We'll talk about the boys sectional tournaments that get underway tomorrow and a lot more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment on this Monday edition of the program. Just saw a tweet from the Arizona Diamondbacks and local player, Jeffersonville product Drew Ellis. He's been reassigned back to the minor league camp for spring training. Got some work in with the Diamondbacks and is set, I believe, I think others agree that follow minor league baseball, a big prospect there to have a great year in the Diamondbacks organization, and hopefully just a matter of time until we see him reach the major league level here in a few seasons or perhaps sooner. But Drew Ellis expected to have a big year in minor league baseball this upcoming year. Chad Gilbert is with me on Mondays. Chad's the former coach, athletic director currently at Charlestown High School, and he's also an IHSA executive board member representing the area. Chad, our favorite week of the year. I know this is one of your favorites. Definitely my favorite. It's here. We've got all sorts of college basketball beginning to wind down, very meaningful games, but we also have the sectional tournament arriving this week, and there's nothing like some great sectional battles, especially as we get further into the week for the semifinal and championship rounds with some of our local teams expected to have chances to move on.
Matt, first off, I've got to say this is my second favorite time of the year. My first favorite time is my birthday week when you hand deliver those honey baked ham box lunches to me every day of the week of my birthday.
That's a big exaggeration right there. So
that's my favorite time of the year. Second, before we talk about that, you touched on Drew Ellis. I coached Drew at Jeffersonville. And you want to talk about a guy who has something special. He's got God-given gifts. But what he's got is in his chest, his heart. And if you think about his career, just a quick story on Drew. We played New Albany, and we beat New Albany like a drum during the season at Johnson Arena. It may be one of the worst losses that New Albany has ever had to Jeffersonville. Now, there's been some losses that New Albany's turned that page a little bit here recently and put a couple of bad losses on Jeff. But it was bad. Well, we played them in the sectional. Of course, we knew the New Albany coaching staff. They were mad. We knew the players were mad, and they were going to come out and they mix us up a little bit. They play a box and one on us in the sectional. Get that, you know, and we knew that coming in. We knew that we were going to play New Albany. And get that call Saturday morning. It's Derek, Drew's dad, who's the baseball coach, Jeff. He said, "Drew's in bad shape." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Bad shape." And I'm like, "Can he go?" He's like, "I don't know." And I said, "Well, don't have him go to shoot around. Don't have him ride the bus. Do anything through it. Just show up and play." So Drew gets to the game, man, and he's just as white as a ghost, Matt. New Albany throws a box and one. They say, you know, "We're not going to let Darryl beat us." And so game is tight back and forth. They do a great job of handling the ball, a great game plan. And it comes down to the wire. We were more talented than New Albany that year, and we managed to pull away. Well, Drew, you know, had an okay game, whatever else. During the game, we had a little situation. Guy didn't get to play in the regional the next morning, or on Saturday morning the following week. We play Evansville-Harrison, who Evansville-Harrison at that time had the Duncan brothers and was really good, Matt. Drew has 27 in the first half. You know, comes back up being sick. You know, he's focused that whole week, has 27 in the first half, and we put Harrison away and go on to win the regional. You know, that tells you about the heart, the competitiveness, and what a champion Drew Ellis is. No doubt in my mind, Drew Ellis will be in a major league roster one day.
Yeah.
Now, oh yeah, and you've seen guys like that before. You know, New Albany, you had a guy who's in the majors right now, and those guys have something special, man. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no question. And hey, before we get into sectional stuff, I meant to bring this up to open the segment, but you had some fun this weekend on a personal note that involves basketball. They had the 25-year reunion for the USI, the Southern Indiana team that won the national championship. Coach Pearl, the team back together. A lot of fun, I know, on that.
Oh, man, anytime you get your guys back together, and this will kind of lead into our sectional talk a little bit. You know, we had everybody showed up but two people on the team. One of them passed away. Another one couldn't make it. And that's 25 years ago. For everybody to come back, that just shows you what a special team we had. Coach Pearl played Kentucky at Kentucky, lost a tough game. And anybody that's coached knows how tough that is to lose a tough game. And, you know, when I'd get beaten in high school coaching, I didn't want to go out to eat. I just wanted to go home, shut the door, and go to bed. And, you know, for Coach to get on a jet, fly down to Evansville, and be part of that, you know, an hour after they get beat by Kentucky, that says a lot about Coach Pearl. And our team, we were talented. No doubt we were talented. We played together, but I tell you what we did is we use a term that's generic today. You know, a term that when someone tells you they love you, that means something. And I hear kids and stuff in the hallway say, "I love you, boo, love you this, love you that." You know, that's not the same as when you tell somebody you love them. And everybody in that locker room, they loved each other. We cared about – we had to put our individual talents on the side – sacrifice in order for what was best for the team, and everyone did that to an extent. We've had guys now that are coaching in college, coaching in high school, who've made their mark and passed that on to their programs as well. So it was something to really be – it was really neat. It was really special to be part of. And that's what sectionals do as well. This is the first step on advancing and making a run in the state championship tournament where you're on your quest. You're on your journey of winning a state title. Now, there's only going to be four teams that win a state title, a 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A champion. But every championship you win along the way means something special. And to do that, players have to be on the same page, coaches have to be on the same page, fans, parents have to be on the same page. And that's not easy to do. But when you have that something special, you have that special bond for the rest of your life. Once you're a champion for the rest of your life. And I've been fortunate enough to be part of a couple of those things, and it's something that's making memories. And that's the one thing I hope the coaches do this weekend, I hope the players do, as they make positive memories and enjoy this next month of Indiana high school basketball.
Let's take a look at some of the matchups or potential matchups. Last week when the pairings came out, we reviewed all the locals and throughout the week conversation on those kind of gave some of the things we were looking forward to and some of the matchups, maybe teams that we felt could best win it. Any certain potential matchup? I know you'll be focused on the 3A sectional at Cordon following your Charlestown Pirates there, but any certain matchup maybe at one of our local sectionals you're interested to see or figure out how things work out here later this week?
You know, the matchups that intrigue me the most, Matt, and I think, you know, you'll be with this one. I think Southwestern and Clarksville is an opening round matchup that's going to be really good. I think Providence-Clarksville is going to be an interesting matchup. The Seymour sectional will be as good as it's ever been, Matt. If you asked me who was going to win, I couldn't tell you and even make a prediction until Friday night after we know who's gotten there. Because it could be any number of teams that advance to that Seymour sectional final. I think that's going to be an outstanding event where people are really going to get their money's worth on that one. I think the 1A, I think Christian Academy has a chance to make a deep run again. And I think Silver Creek is again put themselves in a position to have a very successful offseason. Now, the one thing that all these teams have is you've got to be good to win it, and you've got to be lucky. You've got to catch a break along the way. This isn't the NBA where it's the best of seven. The best team always wins. What this is a one-and-done deal. Survive in advance that you don't have to be the best team. You just have to be the best team that night. That's what makes Indiana High School and the NCAA basketball so much fun. It's a great experience for the fans, great experience for the kids, great experience for the coaches, and a great experience that kids keep with them their entire life.
Yeah, no question about it. Some fun moments ahead for our local student athletes, coaches, and of course guys like you and I and other fans. Going to be a fun week, sectional week, as always. An interesting journey, and I tell you what, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, that's a lot of pressure for a coaching staff to have game plans and film work done, lots of work in between there with practices and other things that go on this week. It definitely is a crazy week for coaches and for the players. And when and if you get to Saturday, win or lose that championship game, when that is over with, you feel like you've been through the ringer, a very, very long and tough week.
Matt, no question. That's one thing I do want to say is thank you to all the coaches out there who are going through this grind, because this thing's just starting, and it's hard. You know, I always said if I'd have put this much work in as a player as I did a coach, I'd been in the NBA. And what the coaches do to prepare to get these kids ready to be successful is unbelievable. Unless you've ever done it, you have no clue what's put in. So good luck to those coaches, and good luck to the kids especially, and enjoy the ride and have fun this next month.
Chad Gilbert, thanks for the chat. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday show. Sectional week, we've got lots of things planned. Join us tomorrow, 11 o'clock, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.